Then we move straight on to the, again, disclosure initiative topic, targeted standards level review, and I give the floor to Aishat.
Yes, thank you, Hans, and good morning, everyone. So moving to agenda paper 11A, at the February board meeting, the board completed deliberations on its targeted standards level review of disclosures project. The board has firstly developed a draft guidance to use when developing and drafting disclosure sections of IFRS standards. And the board has also tested that draft guidance on the disclosure sections in IAS 19 and IFRS 13. And as a result of that test, developed proposals for amendments to those sections. Agenda paper 11A discusses the due process steps taken in the project and requests for permission to begin the balloting process of the exposure draft. I'm going to first of all introduce all of the sections in due process, then I'll hand it over to the board for questions 1 to 3 on page 7, and then I'll introduce the section on the planned structure of the exposure draft before asking you to discuss question 4. So moving on to the due process steps, paragraph 6 to 11 of the paper provide an overview of the due process steps taken to date for the project. Appendix A summarizes the due process steps taken based on the requirements in the due process handbook, and Appendix B provides a list of meetings of the board and its consultative groups at which the project was discussed. As discussed in paragraph 17 of the paper, we think the board has complied with the applicable due process steps required for an exposure draft. For the reasons described in paragraphs 14 to 16 of the paper, we recommend that the board allow a comment period of 180 days for the exposure draft. So with that, I'll turn it over to the board for questions 1 to 3, which ask whether the board agrees with our recommendation for 180-day comment period, whether the board is satisfied that we can begin the balloting process, and whether any board member intends to dissent.
Mary, I understand you would like to say something. Mary?
Hans, my comment may be question 4 rather than questions 1 through 3. It is about some additional research that I'd like to see done during our exposure period.
Let's then wait until we reach.
Okay.
Sue and Daryl?
Mine sort of overlaps between 1 and 4 as well, I think. I think, firstly, that we need to be very careful not to get into the habit in our building of sort of frequently suggesting longer comment periods on exposure drafts. We seem to be getting into that territory at the moment. And, you know, there's still a part of our community who worries about timeliness. So I think we just need to be aware of that. Now, having said that, I think in this case, 180 days is warranted. And the reason why is I don't think this is a normal exposure draft. I think it's going to be really important that we find a way through the consultation process to assess not just do people like the words and ideas that we've written down, but really to find ways to try and work out whether the system is going to allow this approach that we've got here to work the way that we've designed it and intend for it to work. Mm-hmm. And I was reflecting last night that actually this reminds me of the discussion that we had yesterday on accounting policies. So we went out with a proposal where we suggested that preparers assess cost benefits in a different way to work out whether agenda decision policy changes needed to be applied retrospectively. We got a lot of negative feedback on that, even though personally I thought it was a really good idea and really helpful. And a lot of that feedback to me really seemed to be about concerns about whether preparers would be able to apply the judgments they needed to apply well, and whether that would be done in a way that was comparable, and whether auditors and regulators would be able to enforce the judgments in a way that would get good outcomes for users of financial statements. And I think we need to be looking for comfort that we're not going to have those sorts of problems in the context of disclosures. And I'm a bit worried that people might, we're going out with this proposal because we think disclosures are fundamentally important, and we think good judgment is really important to get good disclosure. I'm a bit worried that if people come back and say, yeah, this is good, it's because they don't really think the judgments and the outcomes here matter as much about judgments that are to do with recognition and measurement. So I'd like to look at, you know, some of the recent disclosures coming out of some of the new standards, what goes on in IAS 34, what we saw with the question that came to the Interpretation Committee on the reconciliation in IAS 7, and really understand what it is that may or may not be getting to good outcomes, and what we can learn from that in addition to just the normal comment letter process, because we're looking at whether the system can change and whether we're sending out these new proposals into an environment where we're going to get a behavioural change that we've always acknowledged as an important part of this process.
Daryl?
So Sue pretty much said everything I wanted to say about the 180-day comment period. Very uncomfortable with it. I understand these circumstances, but I think we actually need to actively signal that this is an exception, this 180 days. And certainly when I'm speaking to people, I'm hearing far more complaints about how long things take rather than complaints about there's not enough time to comment. So I think we really need to be very specific about why we're extending the date in this case.
Okay. Shall we first vote on the comment period, 180 days? Can I see who's in favor? Can we give the staff permission to ballot? And can we expect any dissents? Sue?
I haven't decided yet. I need to look at the drafting and make sure that it's clear enough what it is that we're exploring and what we need to understand.
Tom.
Yeah,
intend is too strong a word, but I really would like to see the drafts to be certain.
Okay, so noted. And then finally, Aisha, you want to say something about the structure of the exposure draft?
Yes, just to quickly say that in paragraph 19, we've provided what we see as our tentative plan for the exposure draft package. And we'd just like to see if you have any comments on this plan structure.
Okay. So, Mary, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, a couple of things. Thanks, Hans. One is organizational. I think it would be helpful to pull out the draft guidance for the board as an appendix within the basis rather than integrating it, just so people see that what we're talking about. That's a minor point. The maybe more significant and potentially time-consuming one is that I think the evidence gathering during the exposure period should try to collect information about experiences to date with IFRS 9 and IFRS 15. Now, neither of those two standards was written in the context of the disclosure initiative, the focus on identifying an overall objective, specific disclosure objectives, and you know, items that you know might satisfy the specific disclosure objectives. But both of them represented a step in the direction of expressing objectives and telling preparers that they had to respond to the objectives rather than, you know, disregarding a list of items as a specific checklist. And I've heard very mixed things about the quality and completeness of disclosures under 9 and 15. Now, some of that might be just in the initial context, and if disclosures came last, then people might have improved their game in year two. But I think we have to step back and say, what evidence does experience with those two standards give us, particularly in respect of the question, you know, that we've already voted on, not part of today's debate, about how do we express our expectation for the specific items that we're considering as, you know, likely or possible, and what evidence do we have for re-deliberating that point? So that's the item that I'd like to ask you to do, particularly during the exposure period. Thanks.
Anne?
Thanks, Hans. Just want to emphasize what people have said about the importance of this feedback on a different approach. So as you show us the setting out in paragraph 19, I'd really like to see it quite separate the business of commenting on the proposals that are in 19 and 13 and commenting on the draft guidance and the ideas we're putting forward of doing things differently. I think they have to be separate so that people can really see. We need them to think about two separate things, and we really need this feedback on their views around the proposed guidance that we're saying is going to be used in the future. So I echo Mary and Sue's comments, but also Mary's points about trying to get trying to get more commentary on how it's been working so far, which is also Sue's point. I think we have tried this approach somewhat in some of the new standards, and we don't know how it's going. So that aspect of the research will be really important. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think that concludes this topic. We are back on schedule, so we can take our coffee break.
Sorry, can I say something?
Oh, Tom, yes, of course.
Sorry, I forgot to get type quick enough. Just one thing, when we do the structure, in the last topic, the CFA letter talked about, you know, transitions as things become more and more electronic and data comes differently. And when we structure the thing, I think it needs to acknowledge that how people consume financial information is changing. And so we need to make sure that what we propose will be seen to work in what people expect to be the reporting environment in the future, not the one in the past. So if that could be addressed somewhere in the document, that would be good.
All right. So I think we're ready to take a break, and we will resume our meeting at 11:15.